Have you ever had a dream that lingered long after you woke up, or even a sudden image in your mind that seemed to carry meaning that was probably beyond your understanding at the time? Maybe you had an intuition or some sort of sense that something was coming, but you weren't sure if it was your imagination, your subconscious, or even something more. These experiences in particular, they've fascinated human beings for centuries. They raise profound questions. What's a vision? What's a revelation, and how do we know the difference? Today, we're going to explore these questions together. We're going to look at historical examples, mystical teachings, and some insights that are going to illuminate the line between symbolic messages of the mind and the direct transformative truth of spiritual revelation. My goal, really, by the end of this episode, is to help you have some sort of framework to understand these experiences and perhaps recognize them in your own life. So, to get started, we need to clarify what we mean by vision and revelation. A vision is often personal, it's symbolic and imaginal. It can arrive through dreams, through meditation, through trance, or spontaneous intuition. Visions, they can be really powerful and meaningful, but they're often fragmented and they require interpretation. If you ever had visions, you will really find that they're almost like a jigsaw puzzle. You get piece by piece by piece, but it's hardly the picture as a whole. Revelation, by contrast, it kind of carries this sense of immediacy and this sense of clarity. It's experienced as truth that's beyond the self. It's knowledge that's very direct, it's transformative, and often universal in significance. Many philosophers have wrestled with similar questions. Plato, for instance, saw the material world as shadows on a cave wall, hinting at some sort of higher reality. In his allegory, visions might be the shadows themselves, glimpses of something real but incomplete. Revelation occurs when the mind turns toward the light, seeing truth directly. The vision points the way, the revelation delivers the understanding. History offers numerous examples of individuals who navigate these types of experiences. If we consider Teresa of Avila, the 16th century Carmelite nun, she described the mystical visions of Christ that were quite vivid. They were symbolic and intensely personal. Yet what elevated these visions beyond the imaginal was their transformative power. Teresa's visions brought her spiritual clarity. They brought her guidance for her convent and even deep insights into the human and divine relationship. The Persian mystic and poet that we're all familiar with, Rumi, provides one of the clearest teachings on this distinction. For Rumi, the heart is a mirror. When clouded by ego, distraction, or even fear, it can only reflect fragments of light, visions that are incomplete, visions that are partial or symbolic. He described the process of polishing the heart, a lifelong inner work of love, devotion, and surrender, clearing the dust so that truth can shine through. Per Rumi, do you know what you are? You are a manuscript of a divine letter. You are a mirror reflecting a noble face. The universe is not outside of you. Look inside yourself. Everything that you want, you are already that. In this metaphor, visions are glimpses, they're reflections in a dusty mirror. Revelation is the light shining through the polished heart. It's clear, it's immediate, and it's transformative. If we consider Hafiz, who is another Persian poet, he emphasizes the importance of attuning the heart. The heart is a thousand-string instrument that can only be tuned with love, he says. Visions without love, they're noise. Revelation arises when the heart is harmonized, resonating with the divine. Moving to the 20th century, we find Edgar Cayce. I think everybody who's listening is pretty familiar with him. He's the American psychic known as the Sleeping Prophet. Cayce entered these deep trance states to deliver readings on health, past lives, and spiritual insight, and so on and so forth. Many of his visions, they were symbolic, they were layered, they were complex. Yet Casey also described experiences of revelation, knowledge that transcended personal understanding and provided very clear guidance. He once said, "Keep the heart singing, for when the heart is lifted up, the body, the mind, and the spirit all become channels of the creative forces." Casey's work illustrates how vision and revelation can coexist. Visions are the images and metaphors, the doorway, really. Revelation is the clarity, the answer, the guidance that transforms the soul. If we return to Rumi, the metaphor of polishing the heart is central. Spiritual practice, whether it's prayer, whether it's meditation or acts of love, clears the mirror of the soul. A polished heart allows visions to ripen into revelation. Without that clarity, visions remain symbolic, easily misinterpreted, or dismissed as imagination. So with it, the heart becomes luminous, receptive to divine truth. Rumi reminds us that revelation is not merely seeing. It is being changed. The heart must become transparent for the light to pass through. As he says, "Try to accept the changing seasons of your heart, even if you've never been in spring, for the wound is where the light enters you." This process is as practical as it is mystical. It asks for mindfulness. It asks for discernment and even openness. It teaches that transformation comes not only from the vision itself, but from the readiness of the soul to receive it. One of the most profound teachings in Sufism and central to Rumi's work is this whole idea of polishing the heart. The heart is not merely an organ or a seat of emotion. In Sufi thought, it's the mirror through which the divine is reflected. When clouded by ego, fear, attachment, or even distraction, even the most powerful visions appear fragmented or distorted. Polishing the heart, then, is the essential preparation for both receiving and correctly interpreting spiritual insight. Rumi and Sufi masters outlined a multifaceted process for this type of inner work. It begins with self-awareness, a sustained attention to one's thoughts, one's emotional patterns, and one's desires. The goal, of course, is not to judge oneself, but to see clearly where the mind and heart are cluttered or obstructed. This is accompanied by remembrance, which involves repeating sacred names, repeating prayers or phrases to align the mind and the soul with the divine presence. Repetition, intention, and focused attention allow the heart to shed layers of distraction and self-centeredness, creating space for spiritual clarity. Love and compassion form another crucial pillar. Acts of generosity, forgiveness, and devotion are not just moral practices, but spiritual tools that clear blockages in the heart. Rumi repeatedly emphasizes that without love, the mirror of the heart remains dim and visions remain incomplete. Similarly, meditation and reflection on life, mortality, and the divine encourage humility and self-knowledge. These practices cultivate patience, discernment, and the capacity to hold mystery without grasping. Daily discipline, ethical living, prayer, fasting, and service strengthens the soul's receptivity. Sufi teachers describe this as gradually removing the dust that accumulates over years of conditioning, over years of fear, and even distraction. Only when the heart has been sufficiently polished can visions ripen into revelation. The images or insights that we perceive transform from symbolic flashes into these very direct transformative truths. At this point, the heart becomes a clear mirror reflecting divine wisdom with clarity and depth. In other words, the journey from vision to revelation, it's not about chasing spectacular experiences. It's about preparing the vessel of the heart. A polished heart allows insight to be integrated fully, guiding thought, feeling, and action with a clarity that is both grounded and deeply spiritual. The work, of course, is always going to be ongoing. It's a lifetime of cultivation. but it is the very path that turns these fleeting visions into authentic revelation. Why does this matter for us today? Many of us have visions and dreams, meditations, or we have these sudden flashes of insight. I certainly have them too. Understanding the distinction between vision and revelation allows us to navigate these experiences responsibly and meaningfully. Visions are guides, messages that point us towards something greater. Revelations are moments when truth shines through, transforming understanding, action, and even life perspective. Rumi, Hafiz, and Casey, they all suggest that the journey from vision to revelation requires inner work, requires attention, and above all else, love. In modern practice, this might include journaling, maybe journaling your dreams, meditating, of course, on these insights, or engaging in acts of compassion and love. The goal is not control over spiritual experiences, but openness to transformation. So what do we really take away from visions and revelations? Well, vision is the doorway. Revelation is the light inside. History, mysticism, and poetic insight, they all converge on this. Clarity and transformation, they come from a polished heart. By engaging deeply with our inner lives, by tending to the heart, we prepare ourselves not just to receive symbolic visions, but to be channels for revelation itself. So if I were to give you kind of a final word from Rumi, he would say, the wound is where the light enters you. So perhaps the light that we see in these visions is only the beginning. The revelation or the transformation is what comes when the heart is ready to reflect it fully. As we come to the end of today's episode, I wanted to take a moment to kind of draw the line more clearly between spiritual vision and spiritual revelation. Vision often comes through images, symbols, or experiences that need interpretation. This is something that I talk about often, is learning symbology, learning how to decipher symbols, because usually through visionary experiences, the language of the universe is going to be symbolic, right? It's also, I think, the language of, you know, not just the spirit world, but the language of your subconscious, right? It kind of offers us some glimpses of truth that really need to be deciphered and unpacked. Revelation, on the other hand, it's quite direct. It's not an image, but it's more of a knowing, a sudden clarity that often changes how we see ourselves or how we see other people or even the path that we're walking on. So again, it's like vision, again, is that doorway, but revelation is that threshold that we're crossing. So I think one prepares us to see and the other compels us to act. And both of them are going to be gifts and both have a place in our spiritual unfolding. And while revelation kind of comes more so as, I would say, some sort of sudden insight and epiphany and understanding, there are moments that I've had in life where sudden images, I will say images symbolic or a scene might play out that comes out of the blue where it almost seems like some sort of revelation where, I don't know, I'm doing something and then all of a sudden this knowledge comes. I think people would call this downloads today, but it's more than that. It's more than receiving like a library of information. It's more like some sort of understanding. It's like we're witnessing something that is meaningful and important. I think for some people, yes, it is. It comes with sight, meaning you might see something occur, but it also might just be this huge moment of knowing that comes from above, almost maybe in a form of divine grace. I'm not always sure. So if there's anything really to carry with you from today's conversation, it's really that these experiences are not reserved for these mystics, these saints of the past. They're available for all of us, right? To you who's commuting home from work, to people who are trying to find balance in their lives, to people who are quietly really wrestling with these really big questions of life. Vision and revelation, they appear in different ways, but they both, I think, remind us that the divine is always seeking a dialogue with the human heart. You know, as Rumi wrote, the lamps are different, but the light is always going to be the same. When we polish our hearts, when we remain attentive, we become better receivers of this light, whether it comes to us as vision or whether it comes to us as revelation. So one thing I kind of just want to hit home, and I feel like this is so redundant, but I think it's so important to mention, when I work with people or when I teach people, especially when it comes to seeing, many people want to see. I understand that it's very exciting, you know, for us to see what's kind of behind the curtain. For me, I'm more of a hearer. So yes, I hear what's going on. The most important thing that you can do is really what the Sufis write about, is polishing the heart. And for me, what that really means is forgiveness. And I know nobody wants to hear that, but it really is the truth. And I think when it comes to forgiveness, I don't mean just one time thing. I mean, over and over and over, given that we're humans and we're constantly judging all day long, we're constantly critiquing, right? It's kind of our nature. You know, forgiveness is constant inner work. However, when you attend to that, when you're attentive to the heart, and you're performing the inner work of forgiveness, of self-love, of loving others, and trying to have more of this aerial view of comprehension of people and their stories, we actually are kind of peeling away the layers that we've built up over time over our heart that makes it very difficult for us to have that close communion with the divine. But as we forgive, as we seek to understand, as we offer our compassion towards other people, even those we really don't want to give it to, right? Those who've really harmed us. When we ask for even the intervention to help us see differently, to help us forgive, all of those things, that is when true vision comes. And that is when I think true revelation occurs. It is always going to be that for everybody. And I do hear sometimes people very flippantly just say, oh, just surrender and let it go. Well, situations are more complicated than that for many people in life, depending upon what you've been through, what traumatic events that you've had, what have you, right? So for me, it's an everyday thing of trying to understand, trying to forgive, trying to be reminded of your divinity and the divinity of everybody else, as we're all one entity having this experience, but very individualized. So if you want to see, if you want to see beyond the illusion of this 3D world, if you want a closer relationship with the divine, I am telling you that heart work, love itself towards yourself and others is going to be the magnifier. That's what is going to allow you to see clearly. And I know many of you, or actually I can't generalize, I don't know, you know, how many of you have read the Bible, but of course, you know, also even in the Bible, don't run yet from this, don't hang up on this episode yet. You know, we hear about how those who are pure at heart can quote unquote see God, right? Whether you believe in the biblical God or not, what have you, regardless of that, the point is that the defenses that we build up between ourselves and other is what makes it very difficult for us to be available to receive and for us to see clearly the divine. While revelation is something that is unexpected, it comes out of the blue, we certainly can't do anything to make those come to us. To see clearly in the land of symbolic form through our vision, you have to work on yourself. And working on yourself is, again, attending to the wounds of the heart. I'm hearing this as I'm talking to you today because I think this is really important, especially given what's happening in the world. It's very difficult to try to understand the cruelty that's occurring. It's very difficult to try to extend love to those who are doing things that are unspeakable. And, you know, my friend and I were talking about this the other day, like how do you continue to deliver that love? How do you continue to deliver that compassion, all of those things? Well, I think that's what we do in life, is it's a process. It's day by day. Anyone who thinks they're an enlightened guru and has it all figured out, I don't know, it's questionable to me. But I think it's our own personal life's work is to do that. All of this to say is that, again, I think for spiritual vision, for you to see more clearly, for you to have that closeness, and I'm saying this with the full knowing that there is no separation between you and Source. I know that. But what I mean is on this visionary level, then I would say if you've been having difficulty, if it has been hard for you to see, attend to the heart first. That's where all divine intelligence is. That is where all knowledge is. Anything you want to know, anything you want to learn, all you have to do is ask your heart. And that may be very difficult for people to hear. But that is what I have come to learn from Source. Now, hearing the heart, there's some work to be done in that area for all of us, because the heart contains that small voice within, right? It's quiet. But as I've said before now, as long as I've been doing this podcast for, God help me, 8 years, which is a long time, practice makes perfect. The more you work on it, the more you try, the more you're open-hearted to receive, over time, that voice will get louder. And that voice will direct you in terms of what to do to forgive, what to do to heal. Because once we start the healing process, once we take those steps and open ourselves to that process in itself, then the divine will be more clear. But you have to want to take the first step. That's all really that the divine is asking for, is your small willingness. All right, everybody, I feel like I'm deviating from the point of today's show. I really hope that this was helpful for you in some capacity. I love to study Sufism, and of course, Rumi to me is one of the best poets and one of the best teachers. And if you want to learn how to polish the heart so that your heart, you know, is this mirror of divine truth, then I certainly would dive more into Sufism, especially with Rumi and Hafiz as these wonderful, beautiful poets who get right at the heart center. Everybody, I really hope you guys are doing well wherever you're at in the world. Like I said, I know things are very difficult at large, everywhere. I don't know any place where it isn't, but of course, I'm always thinking about you guys. I'm so appreciative that you continue to listen to this show after so many years. I hope it has added something meaningful to your life. And I look forward to creating the next episode for everybody. So whatever you do, take care of yourselves. And I look forward to connecting with you guys soon. Have a great week ahead. All right. Bye-bye.